They told the Mexican dictator in Gonzalez, come and take it. When it comes to our guns, Prats worried the current threat is from the north side of the Rio Grande. A Texan who understands the function of the Second Amendment. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
From the True Texan Studio on the high ground of Texas, I'm Robert Pratt, and this is the Texas Hour from Pratt on Texas, your home for Texas political and news analysis without a corporate management muzzle or leash. Our Lone Star story of the day, runoff election results settle some offices, set others up for big November battles. That Robert Francis fake Hispanic Beto Pancho O'Rourke is already pushing Abbott, but in a way not likely to win much respect. He actually crashed the Uvalde terrible, the big press conference by state leaders today. Crashed the press conference, my friends. Not a very wise decision. I've got a full review of what's going on in what went on in the election. Some of it still ongoing, very close races. Our Lone Star story of the day, sponsored by our friends at Allied Compliance Services, who'll set up a a turnkey drug and alcohol testing program for your business or institution and truckers. They're your best source to be your third-party administrator with DOT testing. If it's not the murderer's responsibility when they kill people, then why do we arrest them? Why do we have trials? Why do we put them in prison? Or if they're shooting at us, why do we kill them? This is the real question. You know, guns no more entice or cause murder than does Facebook or social media or video games. But that's always the focus. We'll get to that. We've also got an interview with House District 84 landslide winner in the runoff, Carl Tepper, in the show today. Listen to the show anywhere, anytime, whenever it fits your schedule. Get the podcast of today's show and long-form interviews at prattontexas.com. That Gaines County airplane crash I was mentioning about yesterday, one of our great listener club members, Stephen in Gaines County, wrote me and said, I live near the Five Points Gym. The plane went down. It was a small aircraft, wasn't an air tractor, so it wasn't a spray plane. 18-year-old young man was the sole person on board, I guess, and unfortunately died. He went down the last night, I guess, before the storms rolled in, and a neighbor, of course, found him in the field yesterday morning. Sad deal all around. Media reports say it was Ronald Weeb, 19 years old, pronounced dead at the scene. He was from Loup, Texas. And by the way, thanks, Stephen. He said, keep up the good work. I've been listening to the show since 2007 when I was 14, started running the old tractor, and the radio would only take AM. Yet an hour of Texana going on, and I was hooked. I really like the podcast format now, allowing me to listen when I choose. That's great. Thank you, Stephen, and thanks for the clarification. In Nolan County, the sheriff's office made a traffic stop and found a whole bunch of people, illegal aliens, in the vehicle yesterday, and they have turned them over to the feds, who will probably release them. Good work, though, there, sheriff's office in Nolan County. Big news out of Fort Hood, you know, the feds, they want to rename all these army posts after people who were, you know, who are now deemed to be too politically incorrect, and forgetting that, of course, this was the way we healed the nation, because it was a true civil war, brother on brother, and we didn't take the defeated side and humiliate them. We honored, you know, we may not agree with what they did, but this was the way the nation healed. But of course, now we're dominated by Marxists whose belief is that history is whatever you write it to be and that it always changes, and they want to stamp out these people. So they want to rename the massive army post Hood, Fort Hood. But they couldn't have picked, I mean, I'm glad who they picked. I don't like why they picked it, because it's just, it makes me angry. It's just nothing but, I like who they picked. I'm glad if they had to pick somebody, they picked him. But it is just racial quota stuff, ethnic, you know, tick the box quota stuff, because that's what they say all through it, that, well, there's no thing named after an Hispanic and blah, 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 blah. Okay, well, whatever. But I guess if they're going to rename Fort Hood, they couldn't have picked any better mate. Well, I don't know. There are some many Hispanics in Texas who earned medals of honors and never medal of honor and never came home alive. What's wrong with those people? Again, I'm not criticizing. I like this guy a lot. I've always admired him. They're going to rename Fort Hood, it looks like, for Richard Cavazos, you know, former tech president's brother, grew up on the King Ranch. Richard Cavazos, U.S. Army four-star general, Korean War recipient of the Distinguished Service Cross, so as a first lieutenant, so he certainly has a great record. He became the Army's first Hispanic four-star general. During Vietnam, as a lieutenant colonel, he was awarded a second Distinguished Cross, Service Cross, so he's got the record to deserve it. It's just when you read their reasoning, though, it's all about ticking the boxes. You know, it's not about honor and the way honor that was earned. Now, Cavazos certainly did earn it, and I've long respected him. Served for 33 years. He was head of the United States Army Forces Command. And, of course, those of us out here know that he earned his Bachelor of Science degree in geology from Texas Tech in 1951. He played on the football team and was a distinguished graduate of the Reserve Officers Training Corps program at Texas Tech. So it looks like Fort Hood will be named after General Richard Cavazos, a great native Texan. And like I said, that's a good thing if they had to do one. It's just reading the media accounts of all this makes you sick to your stomach because it's not about. In fact, they didn't mention those service. I had to look his record up. I knew a lot about Richard Cavazos. I went to look it up. They didn't mention that in the media accounts. Oh, no, no, no. It's just all about him being Hispanic and getting rid of the Confederate guy. That's my point. Nothing against General Cavazos, of course. I mean, I had to go look up those things. If it was about somebody who earned it, that's what they'd be talking about. Instead, it's all about political correctness, and that is disgusting. Just disgusting. All right, my friends, let's move right into the big news of the day. It was very hard to handle that deal yesterday. We had all kinds of conflicting information coming in. In fact, by noon, I already had that they had the shooter in custody. That's what they had out still in mid-afternoon, in custody. Then we found out later they had shot and killed this guy. So let's just give you an example of the many things that were going across that were just fog of war and wrong in Uvalde. You get that news everywhere. You're getting all the details. Today, the Speaker of the House, Lieutenant Governor, the Governor, Senator Cruz, and other people gathered in Uvalde for a press conference to discuss this. And that Beto Pancho O'Rourke crashed the press conference, interrupted, didn't go there and stand outside to let him have his earned media, which would be legitimate since the reporters are gathered. No, he did what a child does. Or what a little revolutionary foot stomping, you know, Yosemite Sam type does. He actually walked toward the stage after Abbott's opening statement and was heard saying, "You're doing nothing, you're doing nothing." Senator Cruz responded and said, called him an embarrassment. He could be heard saying the shooting was totally predictable. Okay, then why didn't you go get this particular young man and stop it? Because, of course, it's not predictable. They think policy is going to stop crime and murder. My gosh, how anti-Christian and anti-just common sense these people are. He was escorted out by police. He spoke to reporters outside. The Dallas Morning News write-up of this event begins with a tearful, impassioned Governor Greg Abbott was interrupted by Beto O'Rourke as the Republican governor and other state officials sought Wednesday to discuss the school shooting in Uvalde a day earlier. O'Rourke, who is, they write, who Abbott warned would confiscate Texans' rifles, they call them assault rifles, they're not. Let me clarify this to all of you, those rifles this kid bought and are in the pictures, they work exactly the same way as my rifles that don't look like that, that are beautiful, polished wooden stocks like your granddad had over the chimney. There is zero difference. They fire bullets the exact same way and you have to pull the trigger each time to do it. Stupid people. Anyway, the Uvalde mayor shouted at O'Rourke, "Sir, you're out of line. I can't believe you're a sick son of a bitch who would come here to make a political issue." Sorry about the word, but he was out of line, and that needs to be said, and that's what the mayor of Uvalde had to say to Beto Pancho Baby O'Rourke. Back in a moment.
The news and commentary of Texas continues after this.
Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. Specialty Trucks of Lubbock finds good trucks and reconditions them to be ready to work for you and your business. Mike and Jason have repeat customers from all over the country, even Alaska. Call 806-687-1115 to get Mike and Jason working for you. Visit SpecialtyTrucksOfLubbock.com and see their inventory. Solve problems and save money with Specialty Trucks of Lubbock. It's in the name, Specialty Trucks. SpecialtyTrucksOfLubbock.com.
It's bad enough to have your life upended financially. Even worse, with injury due to accident. Have you thought about what happens when the responsible party doesn't step up to make your loss whole? When you've been injured, the Liggett Law Group will work for you with integrity, advocacy, and results. Call Ted Liggett, the heavy hitter, at 806-744-HURT or visit LiggettLawGroup.com. Don't be cheated. Call Ted Liggett and the Liggett Law Group.
Constitutional carry is great, but it doesn't keep you out of jail if you cross state lines and does not provide you the background on law to make right, fast decisions under threat. You need official handgun license to carry training from West Texas Justice. Instructor David Mead offers full-service training, even for beginners. David is a retired Deputy U.S. Marshal and certified Texas License to Carry instructor. License to carry training with West Texas Justice is only $65. Be wise, be trained, be legal. Inquire today at WestTexasJustice.com. That's WestTexasJustice.com.
If you're sick to death of the mainstream news, we invite you to check out 21st Century Watch magazine. We cover developments we have no choice but to watch from a biblical perspective. Not only is it priceless, it's free. Call 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. That's 903-561-7070 and 21stcenturywatch.com. A little hope would be nice.
Brett believes, school or not, the only thing that'll stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. Now, here's a good guy with a gun, Robert Pratt of Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. More on the shooting. I want to, just a couple of more news items. The scene there, these folks were stopped by Border Patrol agents who were in the area, and one in particular who immediately went, they live in Uvalde, a lot of Border Patrol agents, both on and off duty, came to the scene and got this done. In fact, it was a Border Patrol agent who shot and killed this crazy, evil man who killed all those people in cold blood. In fact, Coffee or Die magazine has reported that the U.S. Border Patrol's highly elite BORTAC unit was engaged in this. Said a statement released to Coffee or Die magazine, officials said the agents Del Rio-based Border Patrol tactical team was working west of San Antonio in an ongoing campaign taking down stash houses when the rampage at the school began, and those are the officers who responded, praise God. Nobody ever stops these people. The only time they're ever stopped is when a good guy or good guys and gals with a gun shows up and ends it, period. Now, I want to talk about that. There's all these people who are gun control, and we've already got state legislators putting out press releases saying, essentially, this is Republicans' fault because they had gun control laws in the legislature and they went nowhere. Already saw one of those on the official press release deal today from the House. How about this piece that came out this afternoon? Shooter posted to Facebook before Texas school attack that killed and death toll is now 21, I think. Abbott and DPS leaders released more details, saying the shooter had posted to Facebook just 30 minutes before the attack. I read a big piece in the New York Post about this guy. They've scoured the internet, looked at and talked to people. I mean, he was known to be troubled. Worked at Wendy's. Manager told CNN that he kept to himself. He was quiet. He just work got paid, got his check. Young woman worked with him said he had an aggressive stance. He'd be very rude to girls sometimes, and one of the cooks threatening them by asking, "Do you know who I am? Do you know who I am?" and that kind of thing. And you can go into all this stuff. He used to run around, according to a friend, with another pal and shoot people at random with a BB gun and egged people's cars. This guy was well known to have trouble. Apparently his mother was allegedly a drug addict and being thrown out. There's a lot of information out there. But none of those things are responsible. He made a decision to go do this, my friends. And by the way, Biden's ATF pick opposes arming teachers. That's out in Paul Bedard's column, the Washington Secrets column. Very much, he said he's very much against it, whereas Ken Paxton reiterated his call to arm teachers is the best way to stop or delay school shooting until police arrive. Quote, the reality is we don't have the resources to have law enforcement at every school. Yeah, even that wouldn't do it. You'd almost have to have somebody in every classroom and hope the person didn't walk in the door instantly and kill that person first, which is exactly what they would do. If they're willing to die and do this, folks, you're not going to... Anyway, Paxton said it takes time for law enforcement, no matter how prepared, no matter how good they are to get there. That's right, I've always said it's physics. You know, when seconds count, police are minutes away. So having the right training for some of these people at the school is the best hope. Ted Cruz called for armed school guards and all that, but this Dettelbach, who wants to be the ATF head, it's before Congress today, he's against that because they don't want to do anything about it. They just want to talk about taking away your rights as a free people to keep a government at bay by having an armed citizenry. Now, this thing about he posted to Facebook. There's this attitude out there that the gun, having a gun or being able to get guns, this is what causes the murder. Well, it's just, if you're going to speculate about that kind of stupidity, because these are inanimate objects, isn't it the notoriety? Look at these people. They've all got little manifestos or they've got all kinds of comments out there and stuff. Why don't you blame that stuff? Oh, no, y'all are crazy blaming the rock music and then the video games and everything else. Well, it makes about as much sense as any of the stuff these lefties and a lot of ignorant people blame. Freddie Gray, a conservative, you know, but British conservative over there writing for the Spectator UK, had a big piece, the Uvalde school shooting won't change a thing. And he talked about Biden's comments and he said all kinds of things in this piece. I wrote up some of it. He talks about how both parties are right in a way, but the politics gets in the way of any sensible discussion. The argument for gun control, especially in the wake of tragedy, suits the story the Democrats like to tell themselves about themselves. They're the party of progress and sanity opposed by God and gun-crazy Republicans. But even when they have a majority in the House of Representatives, the Democrats struggle to push for stronger limitations on the right to bear arms. And Freddie Gray's piece is typical of the not really conservative, not liberty-loving conservatives. He points out how Obama he's put out comments about these shootings time and again, but he had a supermajority and never passed the laws he says are so obviously needed. And he goes into how a lot of people support gun control, but then after the Black Lives Matter riots and COVID and all that, people began to rethink it. There's just a tremendous intellectual problem, even on the right, by some of these people who go for this stuff. You know, he says the politics gets in the way of sensible discussion. The problem is you cannot have post-enlightenment sensible discussion when the presupposition of everyone, the premise of the discussion, is that, and it's nonsense, in other words, it's nonsensible, that the inanimate objects somehow do things such as commit murder. Well, they wouldn't have his access to him. Well, that might be true, but, you know, he locked them in the room. All you got to do is lock them in the room and throw a couple of Molotov cocktails that you create down at the gas pump in the room. I mean, our history is replete with people being locked in churches and the churches burned down. There's easy way that you can take household cleaners under the sink, and with the internet, you're never going to stop that, and create a gas that if you lock those children in a room and simply threw it in the room, the odds are that you would have the same kind of death toll. I don't want to get into all the hows and whys, but we've seen people run people down with vehicles and all kinds of things. It's the inanimate, blaming the inanimate object for the action, for the human responsible agency. I'm sorry. That is nothing but pre-enlightenment superstition, which ascribes power to objects, you know, lucky rocks and stones and special spirit trees. And sadly, our society is now full of people who openly do this kind of thing and talk about it. And anyway, the problem with the people who think they're really smart in other countries and other places and in this country, and I'm not talking about the rabid leftists that want to disarm everybody for the reason that that's how you achieve a total revolution and subjugate the population. I'm talking about the people who think it's sensible to talk all about these restrictions on guns and don't really like the American Second Amendment. It's anti-reason to blame guns for to confuse the inanimate object with human responsible agency. And if you're going to do that, honestly, look at all these cases. Can't we, because really what it appears to be they're saying is, because, you know, they don't like the cosmetics, and they call them assault rifles, which they're not. They don't like the cosmetics. but they work the same as any other gun. So what the argument they're making is that the style and cosmetics of a weapon somehow entices and encourages people, certain people, to commit crimes. Well, folks, look at the history on these. Hell, the Unabomber was a PhD guy, and he wrote up all these manifestos. Words were powerful. He would have been all over social media if it had been around then. These people are all out there with it. Why don't you blame Facebook? Why don't you blame all that kind of stuff? Because surely, when they're talking about it and teasing that they're going to do something big and some of them have wanted to make a name for themselves, surely it's certainly the idea of notoriety and being seen as someone and someone important in their warped minds or damaged minds that encourages them a lot more than just a hunk of steel and plastic does. Be real.
He's only silent during the breaks. Pratt's back after this.
I tell you, my heart really goes out to those like me who are self-employed.
Michael Hurley of Hurley Benefit Services.
Self-employed individuals have really been the very cornerstone of my agency.
If you're self-employed, you have a special health insurance problem.
I'm trying to help the individual out there who makes too much to qualify for any help, any subsidy or benefits from the government towards their health insurance, but does not have the income to pay the incredibly high premiums we find if you're buying your insurance individually. I'm a policyholder myself. I sleep better at night knowing that I have this coverage in place in a way that won't break the bank and allows me to keep my family covered if something tragic does happen.
Life, health, dental. With the innovative coverage offered by Hurley Benefit Services, you can have individual or group coverage that is a lot better, that costs a lot less. Hurley Benefit Services is independently owned, and they're online at hurleybenefits.com. H-U-R-L-E-Y benefits.com.
I've told you about my wonderful experience with Dr. Silvia Zuniga in dental care in Costa Rica. Not only was it among the most positive experiences and best dental work I've experienced, my trip to Costa Rica, one of the hottest tourist destinations on the planet, included a top hotel for a week, fancy dinners, airfare for both Isabel and me, and even a private driver, and the entire bill, total spending, was less than half of the best quote I got at home, a quote that was for much less dental work than I obtained from Dr. Zuniga. A couple from Lubbock now knows what I mean. They wrote to say, "We used your suggestion to go to Sylvia in Costa Rica. She was wonderful. Instead of $7,400, I spent $1,640, and not only for my dental work, but for my husband's too. It was a refreshing adventure, and she guided us in things to do. Thank you for letting listeners know." If you have big dental needs and challenges, learn more about Dr. Sylvia Zuniga and dental care by clicking the banner at prattontexas.com. See Sylvia's beautiful face and click the banner at my website, prattontexas.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, here's your Texan in chief, Texas political swami. It's Robert Pratt with Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. You longtime listeners know I could go on for hours from a learned point of view over this issue of guns and crime. There's no sense to do it right now. I've said what needs to be said today. Let's get to the runoff elections, my friends. There's a lot to get to here. First of all, I want to say congratulations to our friend Carl Tepper. We'll talk to him a little bit later in the show. House District 84, one of the most expensive House District primaries I've ever seen in my life. I don't know the research. I don't know if it's the most expensive ever, but it's certainly right up there. Cost per vote has got to be one of the most amazingly ridiculous numbers ever. But Carl Tepper, in a landslide, 59% to 41%, beating his challenger, David Glashine. And in Lubbock County, someone you heard on the show, both of these men, Tom Brummett and Bob Neb, running for County Court at Law Number 2. Tom Brummett beat Bob Neb by a wide margin, 60 to 40. And congratulations to Tom. Bob Neb is a fabulous man. I am sorry that he lost. I just very, very impressed with him. But one thing I know about Bob Neb is it's not going to destroy or upset his life like some people, and because he's well-balanced and has a great foundation and didn't have to have the job. Tom Brummett, I think he'll be a good judge. I told people that all along. There are other big stories you need to know. Let me get a couple other local ones in. In Wichita County, where they had a mistake on the balloting back in the primary and a judge ordered a new election for for a justice of the peace for in Wichita County. The incumbent, Judy Baker, won the election, re-election there. And in Brown County, I just don't understand this. I don't understand what's going on in Brown County. Britton, Shane Britton, who's been a pretty good conservative, Lilly, who's been a very good conservative, Judge Paul Lilly, was beaten handily by Shane Britton. Well, okay, people get, yeah, but Britton's the former county attorney who was running basically a make-a-donation-get-out-of-jail-free card type situation or whatever it was that faced all kinds of scrutiny from the ethics organizations, may have ended up being within the letter of the law, but certainly was outside the spirit of the law. And you folks in Brown County who weren't disgusted by Britton and his defense of that donation thing as county attorney, I'm just ashamed of you. I just think that's disgusting and not a good thing for the Republican Party. Now, you may say, well, there were problems with Paul Lilly. I don't know. I read the Brownwood Bulletin every day. I don't, maybe he didn't like him. I don't know. But to vote for the guy that ran such a smarmy deal out of his county attorney's office makes me question the commitment to any kind of good government across the board in Brown County. It really shocked me that race came out the way it did. All right, my friends, let's look at the races that are really being watched by everyone. Henry Cuellar declared the last pro-life Democrat. He used to be surrounded by many, many dozens and dozens and dozens. Henry Cuellar, more old-fashioned, one of the last of the old-fashioned Democrats in the modern Democratic Party in state and in D.C. have come after him for the last two primaries. He declared victory last night, but he's only got a 177-vote lead, so you've got mail-in ballots and stuff coming. This Cisneros that's running, Jessica Cisneros, I mean, they call her progressive. She's a full-out AOC-type, squad Marxist-type. And this is this is the cleanse the Democrat Party stuff of anybody that holds values less than those street riot people that we've seen over the last few years. So Cuellar's declared victory, but she won't concede, which is right. He says, I know what it is to recount an election contest. In 2004, that's how he became a congressman in a recount. But he says, we have very good attorneys. If we need to, we'll defend our election victory. It's just unlikely that enough ballots or provisionals and mail ballots are going to tip it because they usually maintain about the same percentage that you saw on election day. So that's the situation there. We'll be watching that. In the Valley, though, Patrick Svitek at the Texas Tribune points out that the moderate Democrats, the non-lefties, won two key South Texas runoffs, another's too close to call. To replace Senator Eddie Lucio of Brownsville, Morgan LaMantia defeated Sarah Stapleton Barrera in the Democrat primary runoff, and Luis Villarreal beat Ruben Cortez in the House District 37. The 15th Congressional District, all these were redrawn and everything. Michelle Vallejo came out with a 23-vote lead. Now, she is a radical leftist. Ruben Ramirez ran as an old-fashioned, regular, you know, pro-business Democrat from the old days, and that race is still a 23-vote lead, as best I can tell, for the radical. So that could move around, but generally, Lamanti and Villarreal, that's the old-fashioned Democrats. There's hardly any of them left, and that's why Republicans are seeing gains in the Valley. They ran as more, you know, moderate types. The other ones were lefties. Ramirez, like I said, ran openly as a moderate, and Vallejo proudly campaigned as one of these leftist people in that race. So that one's still congressional. Texas 15, still too close to call. Ken Paxton defeats George P. Bush in Republican primary runoff for Attorney General. Chuck Lindell at the Statesman. And, you know, this was a blowout. It was an absolute blowout. It's exactly what I said, and it's not about the Bush name. It's about the fact that P. did not only distinguish himself as an office holder, he was a poor office holder. And then he mucked up the Alamo and everything else. Paxton's beaten him 2-1, ladies and gentlemen. 68% just about of the vote. Don Buckingham picked up the Republican nomination for general land office. We'll have a big fight in November for that. It's Kleberg of the King Ranch. He won the Democrat nomination runoff. Wayne Christian handily beat the taker top off stealth candidate, Sarah, the Manchurian candidate, Sarah Stogner, there for the Railroad Commission. The Democrats, Michelle Butt Beckley, lost to 54, almost 55% to 45%, Mike Collier for lieutenant governor. If you'll recall, he was their nominee last time. He's a very unlikable person, one of these kind of everywhere he goes angry type people. For attorney general, they picked Rochelle Mercedes Garza, who by 62%, almost 63% over Joe Jaworski, former Galveston mayor. That was an example of picking their least likely to win candidate in November to challenge. Jaworski would have a better shot beating Paxton than Rochelle Mercedes Garza, I think. And Comptroller's Office, Janet Duding won 61% of the vote for their nominee for that. And again, Jay Kleberg beat Sandra Grace Martinez by a tighter vote, 53 to 47, for Commissioner of the General Land Office in the Democrat primary. The results were mixed as far as Cruz endorsees versus Abbott endorsees. We did indeed have some incumbents lose. Representative State Rep Phil Stevenson of House District 85, which is now down in South Texas, not up in the panhandle anymore, of Wharton, was beaten by Kitzman, who was supported by Abbott, Hager, and Ag Commissioner Sid Miller. But a lot of the governor's endorsees won. But Ellen Troxclair won in HD 19. Terry Leo Wilson won in 23. And Kerry Isaac won in 73. All Cruz-backed people versus Abbott backing the other person. And Alexandra Del Moral Miller. Cruz's to victory is going to face Harris County Judge Lena Hidalgo in November. That will be a huge race. She is extremely, this Alexandra Del Moral Miller, very impressive. That will be fun to watch in November for Harris County and all of Texas. Back in a moment.
Stay in the saddle. Pratt on Texas will be right back.
For decades throughout West Texas, Tommy Klein Construction has been a leader in commercial construction. That experience is your assurance that Tommy Klein Construction can do your job right the first time and understands all the government codes with which you must comply. Tommy Klein Construction satisfies state HUB and federal woman-owned business requirements too. Tommy Klein Construction, general commercial building contractors. Reach them at 806-438-3384, 806-438-3384.
Why is Winters Dozer Service among the best able to help you? Background, experience, and equipment availability. Hunter Davis is a mechanical engineering graduate of Texas A&M Class of 08 with experience in farm and ranch real estate. Plus providing fence supplies, Winters Dozer Service knows how to help you on your big country project and can see the big picture. Winters Dozer Service has the equipment ready, so contact them or dig up more info by visiting wintersdozerservice.com. That's wintersdozerservice.com.
It's true. Many of us spend more time thinking about what's for dinner than preparing for retirement. But if you think your retirement needs more attention, Mark Miller agrees and he'd like to help. He's with Edward Jones. Together, he'll give your long-term retirement strategy the attention it deserves. Stop by Edward Jones Financial Advisor Mark Miller's office at 3849 Oldham Lane in Abilene. Edward Jones, making sense of investing. Member SIPC.
Hey now, here at Campbell Containers, we have a big stock of new and used shipping containers for sale. Stop in and look over our inventory of 20 and 40 footers. We have a bunch of new 40 foot high cubes on the yard. All these containers are built in China, so buy now with our locked in low prices before any steel or trade tariffs affect us. We're located just east of Abilene on I-20 at exit 297, or check us out at CampbellContainers.com.
No personality worship here. Here is your host, Robert Pratt, with more Pratt on Texas.
Welcome back to Pratt on Texas. Visited earlier today with Carl Tepper, winner of House District 84 in Lubbock to replace Representative John Frullo. This is one of the biggest spending House races I've ever seen in my life, and I've been at it a long time. Tepper won by 50, almost 59% to 41% over David Glasheen. It became a proxy war between the people in favor of tort reform and the personal injury trial lawyers. That accounts for lots of the money in the race. Here is our interview with Carl Tepper. Ladies and gentlemen, we're happy to have with us our good friend Carl Tepper, who's, I guess, after November will be Representative Carl Tepper, House District 84, a big victory in really one of the most oddly expensive primaries I've ever seen for a House district, and then a runoff in Lubbock. Carl, tell us about it and what you think moved the voters so decidedly in your favor in the runoff.
Robert, I'm still absorbing it a little bit and, trying to put my business back in order today. So trying to get some, day-to-day stuff done. But, we're just thrilled. I think people saw through some of the misrepresentations of things that were said, might have been said, never said. So it was an ugly campaign in some ways. In other ways, it was really inspiring. We just had, we just made a whole new group of friends and really extended family now. And it's a little bittersweet. I'm going to miss working with some people every day, including you, So I'm just, I know it sounds cliched, but we just feel so blessed. And it's really it was an exercise in faith, and I think it shows that prayer works, and the citizens of Lubbock can see through some things, and have some built-in wisdom. So I'm very thankful to Lubbock County and their decision last night.
I think it was very clear. I talked to people outside of the district who are just older watchers, and they were angered by your opponent's attacks. And I wanted to give the local newspaper, the Mudslide, the AJ, credit. In their piece today, they mentioned that, your opponent went on the air the last few weeks saying people have told me they're tired of the nasty stuff back and forth. I'm like, but every single one of those was launched by you in your campaign. And the AJ got that right, which is kind of interesting. And I think that really angered people because they didn't feel like it was an issue attack or that it wasn't bring it up and then move on. Did you hear that from people? I mean, was that what? Because the vote really changed for the runoff. I mean, you didn't squeak by. This was a big victory.
We heard it. We heard it a lot. And as a matter of fact, thanks for saying that. I actually had a really nice conversation with Alex Driggers at the AJ about I really appreciated the ways they were covering this race. I thought it was much more balanced than we're used to seeing in the newspaper business lately.
There's a little new management people in new positions there, and hopefully with the new ownership, it'll get better. I just thought it was the cleanest. There's one paragraph in their story today, and it was just the cleanest, most accurate I've seen. I mean, it says you guys retaliated, but of course, I mean, that's the way it is. I want to ask you this question. You're going to be going into the next legislative session, and I don't want to get into policy or anything like that. But, Carl, a lot of people came together to support you, and I think this race became a proxy war between the trial lawyers bar, the plaintiff injury bar, where they sue everybody for car wrecks, and the people that have long pushed tort reform, which recovered that's really one of the seminal things that turned Texas back into a business leader all those years ago. And Texans for Lawsuit Reform donations to your campaign certainly show that this was a big proxy battle between this. Do a lot of these people leave you alone after that? Or do you feel like you're going to be pulled in every direction because so many folks came forward?
First of all, I can't thank Texans for Lawsuit Reform enough. This obviously wouldn't have been possible without their help. And, I didn't realize, Robert, this was going to be a proxy war between business interests and personal injury attorneys, but it was. And, through the campaign, I had gotten some information and, regaled with some stories about how bad things had gotten in Florida over the years. The personal injury attorneys realized they could just buy these seats.
Well, you had a major supporter who does not want his name mentioned, okay? But he's been around a long time and a legal, knowledgeable person. And the first thing he pointed out to me in this race was, don't you remember that's who controlled the Democrat legislature? The trial lawyers in Texas were, and it was killing business. Remember, we didn't have doctors to deliver babies. They were leaving the state over these lawsuits. Really, the tort reform early on is the foundational element that began to right things in Texas and right the ship. And where you see it in New Mexico or anywhere else where the trial lawyer bar runs the state politics, it's a disaster.
That's what I've been told. And, you know, the only thing more dangerous than letting the personal injury attorneys take over the legislature is probably government itself, you know.
Well, and the Democrats as well. Look, I want to correct one thing because, you know, we've got a history now of things needing to be corrected or clarified on an interview on this show. You said working with me every day. I have not, just so the audience knows, I've not been involved in the campaign. And Carl and I have only spoken maybe two or three or four times in the entire year that this has been going on. So he mentioned earlier working with people every day. I have stepped back so that I can cover these things a little bit more, more clearly and not gotten so deeply involved. Carl, I know you're very busy. Anything else you'd just like to let the people know of House District 84? Because I know for your family and for others, they're all friends of ours. What a relief. We weren't able to be with you last night, but I know how they must have felt because it was just nasty. And we know that the opposition was even holding some very personal and appropriate things in their quiver. And thankfully, I guess, never stooped that low. But there was just some nasty stuff. I mean, it was nasty. And I've been in campaigns my whole life. And I rank this in the most nasty, but pretty nasty. So having said all that, is there anything you'd like to just tell the voters of House District 84?
Yeah, again, just thank you for your support. And, you know, we hope to keep just working with everyone. There's a lot of needs out there. There's a lot of tension about, you know, people are taxed enough. People have enough regulations. You know, people have enough burdens trying to run their everyday business. So, again, I'm just going to be looking for things not to do to you at the legislature. If there's tweaks and some things that are just by definition some kind of a link between business and the government and they need help with it, whether it be licensing or things like that, I'm there for you.
One other thing.
Essentially we're there not to bother you anymore.
That's great.
Let you live your life.
Yeah. And I hope you stay with that philosophy. I want to ask you one other thing though. You said earlier on that it really proved that people can see through something. I mean, the big change in the vote, I really detected that. I mean, I just want one more comment on that because you were front and center. I mean, it was directed at you personally and you're out talking to more voters than anybody. People did begin to pick up on this, did they not? I mean, did it hurt the reputation of your opponent? I think it went so far as to take somebody who actually me and others held in pretty good esteem and actually hurt their reputation. Any comment?
It became a huge credibility problem. The attacks were so outsized. They were so, particularly not true and untrue, and people knew that things were out of context. And I think it definitely, I don't know about the people personally, but the credibility factor for the opponent, I think it really suppressed their own vote in a lot of ways.
That's what I think. I think that was a lesson. That was a real insider's lesson. On a campaign.
And I hope this type of campaigning doesn't become normal. You know,
well,
everyone always says they want to talk about the issues. I genuinely believe that. I think people want to hear about what's going to happen with transportation issues or Texas Tech or their property taxes. But a lot of this was just this sort of distraction politics that did not connect with the voters of Lubbock County. I hope it stays that way.
Very good. Carl Tepper, thanks for your time. And again, congratulations.
Thanks, Robert.
That's it for today. Long live liberty, long live Texas, and may God bless us all. Adios, mis amigos.
Hear all the great Texas music Proud on Texas is famous for by listening to the show on the air or by stream. 5 to 6 p.m. Central in Lubbock. Tune to 98.7 FM or 1420 AM on KWBF. In Abilene and the Big Country, tune to 96.1 FM Q Country.